There's some really long, really bad fan fictions you could do dramatic readings of. It'd be a lot of fun.
I don't know if I want to do an entire episode because that's kind of cringe.
We'll do snippets. Do a highlights reel.
Oh, that could be funny.
It could be. It would be really funny.
Welcome to the Strandcast. My name is Jericho, the podcast editor, and I'm so pleased to be your host. I'm following in the footsteps of everyone on the internet who think they have something new to say. But I'm not like those other girls. I do have something new to say. In this debut episode, we'll be discussing the many formats this podcast can take on and a Q&A with this year's inaugural guest, Kat. I'm an avid podcast listener, and a lot of them have themes and gimmicks that make them unique. And it's only right to pay homage to those who came before me and inspired me and experiment with their styles. As a young kid, I started off with the RT podcast, which was just four friends coming together to share anecdotes, hang out, and vibe. It was such a good time. There's also the new Meghan Markle podcast, but I already know I'm a princess, so that's a check. Okay, a little bit of role play. Imagine me with a flannel on talking to my buddy. Bro, why is Lord of the Rings and House of the Dragon woke now? Can't I watch TV without anything? I obviously only care about historical realism, don't come for me. And it's not because I can't think of Black, Indigenous, and people of color as fully human, with all the fully human experiences that it comes with. Or, how about this? I'll vote for Bernie, but I think Elon Musk is a good person that contributes a lot to this society for everyone's benefit. And also, everyone's too PC. We're all getting censored, my free speech, your free speech, getting taken down, and comedy? What are they doing to comedy, man? Okay, that's clearly not a good look, and I know I'll wander into politics inevitably and constantly, so how about some more novel things? One of my most recently discovered podcasts that I love is Stanzi Potenza's What the Fresh Hell Is This?, which can only be described as a frenetic but fun show that revolves around Tumblr pop culture and fan fictions. And one of the things they did was a dramatic reading of a fanfic. So let's give this a try. Sirius, put that map away. You're always looking at that and never looking at me, Remus huffed in resentment. The secret canine looks up at Remus and with a sultry voice says, "Oh yeah?" as he inches his face closer and closer until the tips of their... Okay, that's enough. How about some ASMR? I've never really found it super comfortable, but maybe. What am I even supposed to talk about, though? What does ASMR even stand for? Oh, okay, multitasking. Sensory meridian response is a tingling sensation. No, okay, I don't think I'm in the pod business to do tingling sensations. Okay, apparently I'm getting desperate. So how about a sports podcast? Except I don't really know sports or know anything about it to talk about it. So the Emmys. If Abbott Elementary doesn't win an Emmy, we should all be rioting. Because that's what happened in Vancouver, right? If not, clearly the internet has a lot of misinformation, and it's also something that I believe that has brought out the worst in people. But it's also worth it. It birthed the glory of comedic and chaotic duos such as Trixie and Katya and Ethan Klein and Trisha Paytas. And clearly I'm revealing my taste, but if I can borrow 1% of their charisma, 1% of their uniqueness, nerve, and talent, maybe I have a chance. And clearly I have many ideas, and they're a great start. However, let's chalk this up to a journey to seek out what makes a podcast truly stand out, just like the journey of self-discovery that incoming and returning students are on at this university. Do you like that transition? I'd like to invite this episode's guest, someone who is just as bright and colorful on the inside as their hair is, my really, really good friend, Kat. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How do you cope with failure?
Why are you starting with that? Targeted, motherfucker. I don't. I drink. Well, yeah, I mean, I try to distance myself from it as much as I can. It's not like because I don't know, I have a tendency to take things very, very seriously, or like, you know, you take it to heart too quickly, which isn't like helpful at all. No one thinks it is, or I don't think it is. So it's like, you know, if it's like a major project that fails or whatever, it's just sort of like you just gotta step away from it, I think. And then when you're like more ready emotionally to like unpack it and to not like attribute everything immediately to like a fault in yourself, I feel like you can get some pretty good critical reflection out of it, which is kind of what you need to like move forward.
Yeah.
And is that what I'm saying?
Yeah. And like, I know it's like a common saying these days, mm-hmm. like around university, but mm-hmm. I really, really do believe it, where like your academics do not define you.
Yeah,
like, even if you do get like a zero, a 49 or something.
I told you some sort of things about my high school years. I failed through my high school, which was like a very like prestigious academic one too. So I got very used very quickly to like being the bottom of the academic
barrel. Now you're here.
Yeah, I'm still the bottom here, but like, you know, I don't take it to heart as much. And it's because like when you're in university, you get to, so to speak, like diversify the things you put yourself into, which is really nice. Because in high school, you're pretty like, it's pretty like prescriptive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like you go to class, people tell you to go to class too, right? Like you get significantly more freedom and self-management in university, which is like kind of crazy. But like, that's a really big part of it too, because now you get to like act on things that you might not have had the chance to before. And it's like, also another part of failure is like, it's like setting yourself up to deal with it emotionally, if like, not over preparing, because I know there's a thin line between like, you know, over being overly anxious or something and like doing too much and just like self-sabotaging through that. But just knowing that like, you know, like I call it like diversifying your emotional egg basket, if that makes sense. You have all these like emotional, like I guess like eggs or like things you really care about, and it's like you've put the weight of that care into like one basket because you really care about it. And I don't think that's a bad thing, but it's like inevitably if you're someone who doesn't like cope well with that process, like it can fall apart. So you just got to put it in like different baskets. It doesn't mean you don't care about it. It just means you get to like, I guess, manage your actions.
I like that. Yeah, because
that's
also
how I think about a lot of things.
Yeah, I think that's something that I've done like kind of unconsciously, because
absolutely, yeah,
like student organization, student leadership,
I imagine
like
it's quite difficult. Yeah,
but that's something
so
that I put
yeah,
a
yeah.
lot of my like time and passion into. Mm-hmm. And when I see success in that, and when I'm not like enjoying my academics, I'm still doing well because
exactly.
I have something that
you have
I
something else going on for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, going on for me, and that I can fight for, that I can, you know,
you
rely on and develop
yeah.
my skills on.
No,
yeah.
exactly. It's like it reminds you you are far more than that one thing you might have like failed or not done well at.
Yeah,
and
because
like,
you
yeah.
are far more than just that one thing.
Well, exactly. Yeah, and it's like people aren't really like, it's kind of hard to like coagulate a bunch of things and be like, this is what defines you, right? It's like, it's not. You know what I mean? No, I
yeah.
think that wasn't super clear. But, like, yeah, like, that's how I cope with, like, a lot of things, actually. If I notice that, like, I'm not doing well and it's, like, one particular thing, or, like, I'm not having a good reaction to that, and, like, I don't have, like, a good immediate, like, sort of, like, care strategy for my current emotional state, you know, it's time to diversify your emotional state. Which sounds like the most finance pro approach to this ever, but it's, like, the best word I can come up with right now.
Hallelujah. No. Okay, I should have started with a softball.
Thanks. Are you apologizing now? This was targeted.
What are your favorite study spots on campus?
I really like Emmanuel.
Emmanuel?
Emmanuel College is by far my favorite. It makes you feel like you're like in a university, but not in like an overly scary and big way.
It's very cozy. It's very quaint.
It's,
the windows
it.
Are amazing.
But it's not cozy and quaint in like a gross way. It's like beautiful. You know what I mean?
What's cozy and quaint in a gross way?
Because sometimes things are cozy and quaint, but it's like overly dusty or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Right?
I like the Graham Library in Trin.
Oh, I haven't gone to that one yet. I know. I've been up in here and I still haven't.
And I don't know if the law library is open.
Oh, I love the new Robarts
to like
Commons.
Undergrads.
I love the Robarts Commons. Like,
oh,
for study with my
yes.
friend. And this is a lot of fun.
I've still never been.
Oh my God, how? We should totally go sometime. I'm there with like Logan all the time.
I don't like Robarts.
No, I know. I hate Robarts. It's
but
so
I guess it's not like Robarts.
The Commons is much more comfortable. Like, you can just tell they built it a lot more, I personally think, at least, with, like, students in mind, because there's way more outlets everywhere, and they give you, like, these wipes to, like, wipe down your desks after and stuff. It's really nice. And you have, like, a selection of different seating, so you can sit at, like, a table with someone or, like, one of those long rows. It's really nice. I like it. Oh, also just the quad grassy areas are really fun to do, like, casual reading.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because if you're, like, an English major, you got a lot of readings, or, like, because it's kind of hellish to have to sit on your computer doing readings all the time. It's really nice to have a printout and like, well, yeah, to have a printout and to just sit somewhere grassy. It's really fun.
Free printing at the VUSAC office.
Oh,
so
true.
Go print your readings and
now?
Then go to the quad.
That's amazing. I thought it was like 5 cents.
I believe it's free or maybe it's 5 cents.
Either
but
way,
either way,
it's
really
cheap.
Cheap
you can do
and
it.
Accessible.
It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
You meet a lot of people also when you're sitting in the quad studying. So it's like a good way to, I guess, like tap. I don't know, because you feel like when you're on the college campus, you like are tapping into it. So you know what I mean? Because like you see everyone, you're intrinsically involved with everyone, even if you don't want to be.
I don't want to be.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, if you want to be and you don't know how to, like, insert yourself, just put yourself in the quad. I'm sure someone will come by and say hi, right?
Yeah. I'm kidding. Come to the Cat's Eye. The Cat's Eye is also great. Hang out. Yeah, study space.
I know a lot of our friends do that.
Great place to meet people as well.
Oh, Pancake Tuesdays.
Pancake Tuesdays.
That's a lot of fun. I used to get it after class a lot. It was really fun.
Okay. Next question. Mm-hmm. Okay. In the theme of, you know, being part of the community. Mm-hmm. I don't know what is happening at all on campus.
Same.
How do I find out what is going on? And where do I go, you know, to meet people and attend things?
I guess for events and stuff, like, I don't know. I feel like Club Fair is a pretty solid start. I remember that. Like,
yeah.
It's super overwhelming, though, if you're not careful. Because it's like, I just remember coming home with a bunch of brochures and applying to, like, none of them.
Oh.
Yeah, right? I guess it's, like, pick one you're sort of vaguely interested in that you think you can, like, do for a while and then, like, try to get involved with that. Or just, like, by involved, I mean, like, very different approaches to different things, obviously. So, like, I remember doing big screenwriting for a little tiny bit and you just, like, emailed the person and they were like, sure, come in. It was basically, like, a screenwriting lecture, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, with a lot of, you know, student organizations on campus, it's not that hard to get involved. Yeah, you just have to contact the person and say, hi, how do I get involved?
I remember, like, being, like, younger and being very constantly intimidated because I was like, oh, no, what if they're, like, super professional? And I realized
they're not.
Exactly. It's fine. Go for it. It's
totally
fine.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
And I've also, talking with some students, that there's the other end of it where they're worried that if they do take on one thing that, you know, they're not going to have time for it. But I think my advice would be take one or two things for the first semester and it's totally okay if you have to take a step back.
Exactly.
But most students can manage.
You're adjusting your entire approach to like school and university. And that's like two very large things to juggle at once. It's insane. Especially if you're like living here and it's like you're an international student too. Or even if you come from out of town, it's hard.
What I have found out is also it's not too late to join. And I've interacted with fourth years who have come back into, you know, a club or student government.
That's because gonna be me.
It's fourth year and it's totally fine. You can join
like,
the fourth year.
I haven't done anything, but I want to start like doing something for the Strand. I just watched a really good movie and I wanted to write about it.
Oh,
yeah,
definitely do
it's
that.
Stonewalling.
Okay.
Yeah, it was actually really cool.
As a great segue into something you were talking about.
Yes.
How do you juggle extracurriculars, a job, commuting, school, networking, and hanging out with friends?
That is too many things to put all on one plate. Like, oh my gosh. I'm not saying you can't do all these things. It's just like, I feel like you got to have a pretty realistic like idea of like what you can do. And I don't mean that in like a hard way, in more of a like know your limits type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you approach things from like desire first, like I do, if I really want to do something, I'll think about like the normity of how much I want to do it. And that can be really great for like getting shit done or like wanting to do things or wanting to engage with things. But it's like difficult when you think about like when you go through that end in terms of like introducing something into your life, it can be quite difficult to fit it in around everything else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's more like seeing, I guess, it's more of like an assessment, I think, of your life where you're like, can I like fit this thing into my life? Because like I remember I was working like a part-time job but like a lot of hours along with school, and that was like not working out for me because like I'm really bad at sleeping on time and I had to get up really early, so I was just fucked for the entire day. And like, yeah, when they started cutting out hours, I was like, oh, I'm doing a lot better. And I think it was just like realizing, you know, you have limits, and then like coordinating, I guess, like your priorities with those limits. Also, you can multitask for a lot of things if you're like socializing and studying together. I do that a lot. Works out really well.
Yeah, that's lots of students do that, and
I know,
think
it's
a very common thing to do.
It's great. Also makes you feel like you're a student, you know.
Yeah,
like, I talked to this with one of my friends, Elijah, I think, and he was like, yeah, like working a lot, like you don't really feel entirely like a student, but you don't really feel like a working person either. And it's like a weird in between feeling, especially as you get like older, I think.
Yeah, and also though, university is a time in your life where you're going to be doing way more than you will ever be doing when you're like an actual adult.
Oh my, you're right. I don't want to think about that, but you're right.
But right,
I'm
like,
not doing anything right
we're
now.
Expected,
how dead am I going to be as an adult?
Well, we're expected to do 1,000 pages of readings a week,
and then you
write
go,
an essay yeah. by the end of the week.
I'm just thinking
go to tutorials
like
and lectures.
No, exactly. I'm just thinking
do
of
the student organization.
They're like constantly on the go. They're like, I have a meeting here, here, and here, and then just like they eat. Well, like they barely eat because they're always on their way out, and they're always commuting around campus. And it's very tiresome, I imagine, even if you find it fulfilling.
Yeah.
Oh, also taking care of yourself is a big one. I know that's like everyone says self-care, but it's also just a matter of like maintaining your like basic like ability to engage is the way I think about it. Because it's like, self-care as an incentive in of itself doesn't mean a lot if you have poor sense of self-worth or like it's not a practice habit. So it's like...
Sense of self-worth.
Oh, yeah. Was this a surprise to you?
No.
Oh, you see, what? No, but what I'm saying is just, like, you know, like, even be more utilitarian, it's, like, your basic ability to engage with things more consistently. That's what, like, I guess, like, motivates me to be, like, oh, time to go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's, like, I want to be, like, okay enough to do things tomorrow.
Also, I'd say that, I mean, whenever, especially first years ask this question, I think it's important to realize that
oh yeah, from first
it's a constant process. Also,
oh,
like
absolutely.
you're literally 17, 18.
Oh, I remember being 17 because it's like you're so used to
coming into independence.
You're so used to like a set schedule too. I think I really struggled with this where it's like I remember specifically in first year, it's like there was no like structure given to me, and it was really weird if you're not someone who's like used to practicing your like self-autonomy, especially that young, or like yourself, like your ability to like manage yourself.
Yeah, and it
like,
takes
letting
a
yourself,
while.
Exactly, letting yourself do what you want in like a proper and like moderated way where you actually get towards what you want to. It's like very difficult. It's still a skill like I think all of us have to practice as well.
Yeah, constantly.
Absolutely. And it's like, that sounds really like dejecting, but it's like, I don't know, think about it as like a continuous process of negotiation. And it's like, you can find out, I guess, like through this process, like what you actually really kind of want to do or engage with. Like you find out more about yourself, which is very cliche, but it is the truth.
Yeah. What is something I should do at university before I graduate?
Ooh.
Something fun. Like something
interesting.
I don't know. Something
unhinged.
Interesting.
Unhinged.
Unhinged.
Yeah. I saw someone leave a mostly full bottle of like whiskey on the critic statue. What's his name again?
Critic?
Yeah, the one outside.
Oh, Northrop Frye?
Yes. I don't know how I forgot. I literally am in his stream in Vic 1. I don't know what's wrong with me. I saw someone leave him a little like thing of whiskey. It was real whiskey. I opened it up and I was like, oh, that smells like...
Did you
like
take it?
No. No, I was not... My standards weren't that low yet. I just remember smelling it. I'm like, that's definitely whiskey. And put it back in the little nestle of his elbow.
Someone must have taken that.
I know. Someone take a shot
with Northrop Frye. I'd be so tempted.
Take a shot with Northrop Frye. Yeah. I mean, I think one year, in first year, when I was, like, really, like, it was, like, exam season, I was just, like, leaving, EJ Pratt, just, like, super groggy and out of it. I just remember being, like, maybe I should go pray to Northrop Frye statue.
Did you actually pray to Northrop Frye?
Well, yeah, semi-ironically.
Okay.
Yeah, I was, like, this is definitely fake, but I'll do anything.
Did he come to life and answer your prayers?
What do you think?
I think that's a yes.
No, absolutely.
I believe in weeping angels, so...
Yeah, okay, well, that's just your Tumblr background. Okay, that's a choice at this point. I don't know what to tell you there. No, I wish. That'd be a lot of fun. I feel like he would have gotten me extra credit if I brought him to class. Been like, hello, professor.
I don't know. What is something someone should do before they graduate?
Something you want to do, I guess. I feel like, yeah, it's just like...
Is there like a tradition? I don't know.
We're not like that. Well, frats here are dead, thank God. No offense.
Yeah. What is something I shouldn't do or something I should steer clear of? I think frats is something you can steer clear
Remember
of.
Remember when you vomited in my shoes at that frat? You should steer clear of shoes.
I don't think I'm adding that.
Yeah, you know what? Fair enough. Fair enough. I respect that. I don't know. I feel like UFG is such a huge school that it's like everyone has like different experiences based on your faculty and your clubs, et cetera, like what you want from this uni as well, right?
Yeah, I guess an engineer
it's
would
way
tell
too
you
large.
To like, dye yourself purple.
Exactly.
An English student would tell you to pray to Northrop Frye.
Yeah.
And as a political science student, I'd say get into a heated debate
that's
with someone you
my
heavily
worst
disagree
nightmare.
With
that's literally my
and
worst
or
nightmare.
Your professor.
That's literally my worst nightmare. I can't believe that's what you have to do as a poli sci student. There's a reason why I'm not a poli sci.
I feel like it's a rite of passage.
Yeah, I don't enjoy it and I refuse to engage with it.
That's also very good. I mean, at this point, I've also drawn boundaries, right?
Yeah,
don't engage with certain
I feel like
topics.
When you're like a young poli sci student, you're like, you know, ready to make the case.
But I was like I felt like a very falsely jaded, I think, 17-year-old, where I was like, no, I don't have it in me. I'm so tired. Like, I'm not articulate enough to make this case. I'm done.
The pandemic has made me really antisocial. Do you have any tips?
No. Exactly me, though. Like, I feel like my texting habits have just gotten destroyed. They weren't good before, but the pandemic has, like, sent a wrecking ball through them. They're dead in the water. All my friends are just like, are you dead, girl? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe.
But also, if you don't have the capacity to text.
I never do.
I perfectly relate with that. And I think my solution to it is just getting yourself out of the house and putting yourself in a public situation.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Others can come to you.
No,
like the quad or
exactly,
the
like
cat's eye.
At the quad or something. That's actually a pretty solid approach to it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a hard one. I think it's like just increasing your capacity on a day-to-day basis too. Like doing, I don't know, just inserting it into your life while you can.
Yeah. And remind yourself that no one cares more about you and how stupid you think you look than you do.
You know what's greatly freeing? This is definitely a piece of advice that's come up multiple times. No one thinks about you that much. It's beautiful.
How much shame do you have now?
Oh, so much.
I have no shame.
I respect that. I have so much shame, but like they're not, it's not like properly distributed shame. Like there's too much in some categories where there should be some in some others. You know what I mean?
What categories?
I don't know. We'll find out. I can't name them for you straight up. Like, what do you want me to do? But it's just like, yeah. Oh, here we go. I'm completely shameless at asking for extensions. It's real bad. It's so bad.
Lend some out. A lot of students need that.
Oh, you should absolutely. Like, there's no shame in asking for.
What are your tips to ask for extensions?
I destroyed this mechanism inside of me, like, in high school. And I just been, like, pushing it full throttle in university. I'm so shameless about asking for extensions. It's bad. It's real fucking bad.
What's your advice? What's your secret?
I don't know. How I cope with the anxiety of asking for extensions is I, like, over-formalize my emails and stuff. And as a result, I become, like, extraordinarily good at writing email extension requests. I'm really good at it. I sound really formal and really sad, which is how I am usually. So I think it's a pretty good one. Otherwise, though, I feel a lot of shame in, like, entering class late. I think, like, I don't know if you feel that, but I hate feeling like that. Because I feel like, I'm like, when I go to class later, I'm like, it's so bad. It's so bad.
Well, if it's a big class, I don't mind.
If it's a seminar class, it like rots me inside. Yeah. But like, at the end of the day, sometimes it's like, I'm not going to go to this class I'm not going to properly engage the way I need to if I don't like make myself go in. So it's like, you know what? Just think about that picture of Matthew McConaughey smoking a cigarette. Just like get out all that emotion that you need to and then like do it, I guess. This is very aspirational advice. I don't do any of this.
I mean, you do, though, no?
Which part of it? The extension emails?
Getting extensions.
Yeah, I have to. Otherwise, I'd be failing harder. Yeah, I do, actually. Pretty much every extension email I've sent, actually, has, like, gotten, like, an okay, even if they were, like, way past the proper date of, like, faculty, like, grade submission. I wouldn't recommend doing this. Don't push it that far, but, like...
I mean, it's better than...
Yeah,
not
it's like
doing
it's not
it.
It's never too late. I think like a moral, I guess like a moral, an idealistic moral of this discussion is like it's never really too late to like engage. You know what I mean? Whether it's in like your assignments or like your deadlines or something. Communication in college is a big one too. Had to learn a lot about that.
Communication where?
Anywhere. Like it basically like communication in like a college setting, I guess.
Oh yeah.
Because in high school teachers don't really want to hear your reasoning, right? But it's kind of like a lot more like self-determined sort of. So it's like if you're like, oh, I can't do X and X because of X and X, people will actually be like, yeah, sure. Like, when can you do it? You know what I mean?
Oh, nice.
Can you notice that too?
I mean, I don't really know. I haven't really paid attention.
Yeah, because I feel like in college, I struggle so much with deadlines. So it's like, I feel it much more keenly when like the pressure is like a lot higher and it feels like there's a lot less like, not wiggle room for pushing it back, but just like, you know, like, what if something goes wrong and I need more time or whatever, you know? It's, like, it's good to know that, like, you have some level of, like, agency, I guess. It's a big one. Like, I didn't feel like I had any agency in college or, like, in my first year. Because I knew, like, a lot of people who were coming in from, like, internationally and, like, out of town, they had, like, a determination and a drive about them to, like, explore and see the city and see as much as they could. I was like, I feel nothing, dog. Like, I just want to get through this.
I have no motivation. What do I do?
Exactly.
That is a question.
I mean, like, I don't really know how to, like, magically spark it up. What about you? How do you do it?
Neither do I. Unfortunately, I do relate with the fact that if there is a fire under my ass, I do work faster and better.
Yeah, I do be like that. I really do.
But my advice is do as I preach and not as I do with this case.
That's pretty
accurate.
Because
you do not want to be in that position.
It's so bad. It's always bad. And you always regret it. Your life gets a lot more comfortable when you stop putting yourself in those positions.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I still haven't. But it's like, you know.
But also, you know, lack of motivation is not something I'm going to diagnose on a podcast.
Yeah.
That too requires much. Way more professionals to
you
do.
Get yourself on that UFD mental health list. Get mental health, like, therapist list if you opted in.
Yes, do that.
That was great. I got a lot of, like, yeah, like, access to, like, mental health care in first year, even though it was, like, not probably, like, even though the wait list is so long, I got there eventually, and it was really helpful. Surprisingly.
Also, give yourself grace. Like,
it's so much easier said than done, but, like, in reality, it's like, yeah, exactly. It's like, it's, yeah.
It is much easier said than done.
It's so much easier.
But what I always like to tell myself is that you don't have to moralize it. You don't have
to
feel
really
guilty about
it.
There's
not really much of a point of moralizing it or feel guilty about it. Because honestly, like, those are usually, I think we try to do that because we try to, like, get ourselves to get more emotionally invested so we can actually do things. But a lot of times it doesn't, like, work like that. And there's, like, other circumstances that, like, either you're not thinking about or, like, just didn't occur to you. And that's not, like, on you. You know what I mean? It's just, like,
yeah.
Sometimes there's circumstances out of your control.
Plus, I think the majority, like, super majority of the times, like, 99% of the time, when people are feeling this way, I always like to think that they are doing their best. Like, that they are doing their best to survive, just to, you know, cope internally. Like, if it doesn't, if it looks like nothing's happening on the outside, there's so much happening on the inside.
That's usually pretty accurate.
And that's so much, like, labor to go through. And I think a lot of people need to learn that more as well.
Yeah, and, like, seeing it in themselves or in other people?
Seeing it in themselves, because everyone does it. But also, if someone else does it, that you don't, you know, make their life harder when you already know that their life is hard at this point.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It's like, yeah, I think it's just, like, also finding something, like, tailoring things to, like, more, like, what fits in your life and your personality, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's very broad, but it's, like, I feel like for a lot of self-care advice, people often forget to, like, consider what they're capable of or, like, how it fits into their own lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What do you mean, like, what they're capable of?
Because, like, I don't mean on an ability to, like, achieve or anything. It's more just, like, what do you have the capacity for at the moment?
Yeah.
And, like, how much can you, like, spend on this, really? Like, how much time and, like, how much time or whether that be, like, resources, like, can you spend on this, really? You know, and it's about, like, I think it's about, like, taking more of, like, a general suggestion and trying to implement it best as you can in your life instead of, like, hitting everything to a T.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What's the social scene like at U of T? Should I be going out? What should I be aware of?
I'm pretty sure that's, like, entirely up to, like, you, which is very terrifying if you have no idea who you are.
But that's the nice thing about Toronto. That's, I mean, true. Everyone said, I've been thinking about this because with Guelph and Western, they're known as the party
so
schools,
too, right?
But they're known as the party school because they have to party at school.
Yeah, that's so smart.
In
that's
Toronto,
exactly
we don't have to party at school.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything on campus unless you want to.
Yeah, and
especially
we're very lucky.
We're at the downtown campus, too. You know how close we are to literally everything else?
King Street, Queen Street, the Village.
Like, it's like, what, like a 12-minute thing from Museum down to, like, St. Andrews where, like, TIFF is happening. Like, it's so close.
Yeah, so definitely, like, you know.
It's like, no, there's so much to do. And it's like, that's so, like, broad, obviously, but it's like, you know, you don't have to ever go clubbing and stuff if you don't really want to. You don't feel like that's up to you. Like, we have so many locations of snakes and lattes downtown. It's kind of insane. Like, there's so many.
Arcade bars are fun.
Those are pretty fun, yeah.
And, you know, for me, coming from, like, a small town,
it's pretty overwhelming,
I feel so, like, well, I feel very lucky to be able to
you know, take advantage
of
things.
You know what I feel lucky for coming from a suburb? The fact that, like, I can buy snacks at, like, midnight here.
Oh, H-Mart.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. There's so many things that are close to you where you can buy snacks and stuff. Whereas, like, before in the suburbs, it's, like, your convenience store is a 20-minute walk away. Good luck.
Okay, so what are your favorite spots to get food? That's restaurants or convenience stores? Or...
Oh, there's this really, really cheap Japanese restaurant. It's, like, a eatery right outside, like, OCAD.
Oh.
Called, like, Mampuku Eatery or something like that. They do, like, $6 bowls of udon and stuff. It's really sick. It's actually really, really... It's pretty solid, like... And I know they're also quite, like... A lot of OCAD students like to haunt there because it's so close to them. And it's pretty... It's really affordable, and they have a really pretty solid, like, really big menu.
Oh.
It's actually really, really nice, yeah.
Plus, you might get to meet some interesting and cool, fun OCAD students.
You can tell they're OCAD students, all right, yeah. One of my coworkers was like, you look like an OCAD student, but you go to UFT, which is funny. And I was like, yeah, I've been telling people that since, like, first year. It's like, I've never let up on the fake OCAD cosplay.
Yeah. I also like Chinatown. Chinatown is so much cheap food.
I love
food.
Chinatown, yeah. Juicy Dumpling, classic.
Juicy Dumpling. Or any of the Chinese bakeries where you can literally get buns for 90 cents.
Yeah,
or...
it's amazing. Also, for, like, produce, this is such, like, a... Like, I love produce now.
Yes, go get berries.
No, Farm Boy. If you live closer to, like, college and Bay, too, sometimes the Farm Boy has, like, a shelf of, like, their ugly fruit or whatever, or their ugly vegetables, where it's, like, sometimes significantly cheaper if you buy it in, like, those $2 cartons or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it changes based on, like, whatever's, like, you know, about to go bad or, like, whatever's, like, kind of ugly. But, like, I don't know, you can get a bunch of cheap produce, which is really nice.
That's very helpful.
I used to get, like, a bunch of, like, you know how grapes are super expensive? It's, like, $5 for a pound or something sometimes.
Yeah, the first time I bought grapes, I thought it said $7, but it was actually $7 per pound, yeah. And the grapes were, like, 3 pounds or something, and I was too shy to return them, and I paid...
They're so expensive, right?
$15 for grapes or something.
Honestly, yeah, that's fair. It's really, like, grapes are so stupidly expensive downtown. I bought, like, I think a pound or something for $2 is great.
That's great.
I know, it was a great deal.
And also, you can get some really good samosas on Bloor Street East. It's
really?
Called Maja.
Oh, I haven't been
by
there.
By No Frills.
Oh, yeah, you go to No Frills a lot. No Frills is also a really good, like, grocery store place. I like Farm Boy for produce and then for everything else. Just, like, go to Metro or No Frills. It's cheaper.
Okay. What is one thing you hate about university that you would like to change?
God, I have no clue. Like this university or university as a concept?
Oh, up to you.
Oh,
maybe this university, make it more relevant.
I'm trying to think really hard. I feel like most of my struggle, I guess, with the university is more just like a constant. I don't know. I feel like my experience with university has always been very closely intertwined with like how I get work done. It's extremely, like, it's a very dysfunctional process that is not healthy for me. So I think it's, like, I don't know. I feel like I probably would have appreciated more support somehow mentally, but, or, like, you know, in that regard. But, like, I'm honestly not sure in what ways, like, they would go about offering that. And I already received, like, just based on talking to people, way more help than most people do from the system.
Yeah.
So it's pretty just, like, yeah, like, there's this gap here where like I don't like this part of my university experience, but it's not like I know how to fix it, and it's not like I don't know necessarily if I feel like they should be responsible either.
Ooh, that's another topic, and probably something I would probably cover. I don't know, because there's a lot to say there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just gonna say the university's self-righteousness.
What do you mean? I'm curious.
Harvard of the North.
Because you deal a lot more with, like, student government, too, so you know how, like, the university sees itself a lot more. I am, like, much less engaged with, like, UFT's self-identity aspect.
Well, yeah, Harvard of the North, it's a nonprofit institution that makes so much profit.
Yeah.
We invented insulin, yay.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I kind of think I know what you mean, where it's, like, so, like, very, like, self-concerned with itself, like you have to. I think I'm getting.
Yeah, and if you were that self-concerned, you would actually implement changes.
But
that
I think it's
are
like
beneficial.
I think people are quite disillusioned. I think generally people are really get really disillusioned with the way the university presents itself and with the actual like policies of care they usually have in place. Like I think a lot of like tiredness and jadedness from places like the subreddit, right, where they're very like, there's like this school fucking sucks, and it's like. On UFT confessions, they're like, yeah, don't come here. And I think it's because, like, it's what's promised is, like, very different from, like, you know, it's what's promised is, like, a fulfilling, like, life. in like a university context, which like is really nice, but it really doesn't happen for like a lot of people. And I think like that initial disillusionment can be quite like upsetting and very understandably so, because it's like, what, the Harvard of North, you're supposed to be like enlightening yourself, but it's just like you keep getting like dogged down more and more again by like really, really harsh academic policies in an environment that seems to be purely concerned with that. It's not fun, and it's especially like alienating, because like if you come into a big program and you don't like live on campus, you got no way of like really like touching base, or like, you know, not as salt, like not as clear of a way as touching base with like other people who are in like a similar situation to you. It's really hard too in like competitive programs. Oh my god. Especially like because the the competition between people is like crazy.
I always like to
store too fancy, head out.
I always like to implant the idea in people, and I always have that realization, is like, I'm an adult.
Yeah, that's
I
so
can make
hard
decisions
to, it's so hard
for
to
myself.
Come to that. No, it's literally so difficult to like kind of like come into that. It's so weirdly hard, like, because I still struggle a lot with that.
Final question.
That was fast.
It's actually been quite a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I just like talking too much.
I'm downloading dating apps for the first time. Tips?
Oh, I don't know. You gotta tailor.
Tips are for OnlyFans, not dating apps.
That is true.
But if you want to try.
No, don't do it. Don't do that. I think you would get kicked off. I think you get kicked off and then you're like just like fucked. Not like in any fun way.
So dating apps. Would you say don't go on them?
I mean, it really depends on what you're looking for. Like, I know that's so like broad. I hate all of them. Which, here's the thing. Here's the distinction. I think it's like if you want an actual relationship, people find a lot more success with Hinge I've heard, than like Tinder or Bumble.
Okay.
But that's like anecdotal evidence from people I know of. You know, like the people we have know in common.
This is a podcast, not a stats class, so okay, that's totally fine.
Well, I'm just anecdotes
are good.
Okay, that's true. Yeah, like Hinge is generally better for like connections, I think. People weirdly, sometimes people become friends on Tinder. I wouldn't like rely on that at all. I think it just sometimes just kind of happens. I don't know. I feel like I downloaded a lot of Tinder being like, haha, it's ironic. It very quickly became unironic. I think like I started off being like Lamo funny because, you know, I was dumb in 17, and it very quickly became, you know, like I started, you start taking it unironically pretty quickly, even though that was not your intention at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You know what I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, I made the conscious decision to bite the bullet, and it's been a mixed bag.
Yeah, it's a very mixed bag. I think it's like, also, how much energy do you have for dating and stuff and like meeting
None.
People? Exactly. That's like, it ties into another thing we're talking about where it's like, you know, like your life balance. It's like, you don't have to do it if you don't have it in you. That's not like a bad thing on you. It just is what it is. Like, you could do it, like, as you said, oh, you can't do it. Oh, well, or like, I'll do it in the future or whatever if it really is that important. There's not like a prime time for this.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then, just a last tip, if you are on Grindr, please be careful. That's that's all I'll say. Let someone know if you're entering a stranger's home.
Oh, you should absolutely do that. Oh my god, do not. Just like, yeah.
And they should know when you're getting back.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like,
either the next morning.
Yeah, just text them when you get back, you know?
The next night.
Yeah, don't do it unchecked. It can be a bad one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any final words? Anything you want to say?
If you have like, if you're drinking in first year, I don't know how you could, but like, let's say, I don't know, accidentally, if you like, you know, were like outside the North of Fry statue and saw that someone again left him a little thing of whiskey.
Yeah.
You know, some crazy coincidences like that, like.
Perfectly,
you know,
innocent.
Yeah, and like, you know, if you decide to like have your go-to, make sure your go-to is something you're okay with never drinking again after that year. Because like,
what a tip.
It's a practical piece of advice.
It's very practical.
Because some alcohol you should only really have exposure to when your brain is still like young.
What does that mean?
Just like, you know, there's some, no, that's okay, that came out really like scary. That's not what I meant. It's like some alcohol, it's like, you won't want to drink it past that year. It's like very like a first year kind of drink.
I can barely drink tequila anymore.
I cannot look at Sour Puss without feeling nauseous. I really can't do it. I cannot do it. And that was like my go-to every single week in like first year. Not that I had access
when you were 19, because you were late entry.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I definitely took a gap year. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, but like, you know, when I was legally purchasing alcohol with my legal driver's car, like driver's license.
Uh-huh. Because we both know how to drive.
Yeah, exactly. We both are really, really good drivers. Like, in our friend group, we are the most reliable drivers.
Yes.
Everyone constantly bothers us for car rides.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we're like, no, we're too busy with our own things. No, but like, pick something you're okay with never drinking again.
That's actually probably the best advice any of us has ever given.
I think that is. Out of all the like shit I've said on this podcast, I think this is by far the most practical advice I've given. What else? What other practical advice? Yeah, if you're going to like gross places too, make sure your shoes are like shoes you can clean well or easily, you know, like wipe it off.
How'd you learn that lesson?
Oh, I don't know. It's crazy. I barely remember. Do you know? What do you know?
No.
Do you remember? I swear we were at that party together. No?
No, I think some stranger
yacked
on your shoes.
Yeah, some stranger must have, like, vomited all over my shoes, and it was, like, crazy. And then I started vomiting, too, because I was like, that's so gross.
Okay, well.
Yeah, well. Sorry, I don't think it's not too bad. It's not too bad. You do what you gotta do. You do what you gotta do. Oh, also, outfits-wise, I know, you know, one of the best parts of college, best and worst and most stressful, is, you know, treating your classes like a runway project.
All day?
I mean, not all day. The days when you can.
Yes.
The days when you can. That's a big one.
Okay, okay.
Having a days when you can't kind of outfit that makes you look put together, if that's the impression you want to give, can be kind of nice, you know? If you go to a Value Village or buy a men's shirt and, like, nice pants, and then, like, a pair of, like, cheap, comfortable loafers or something.
Have a stylish, lazy fit.
Yeah, that's not a bad one either. Also, like, tote bags are big right now. You don't have to get a nice bag. Just get a tote. The Uniqlo ones are nice, even though they're expensive. I've been wanting to buy one for, like, ever. They're, like, $30, but it's, like, the best tote I've ever seen in my life. It's, has, like, a reinforced bottom, but it's, like, not just, like, a flat bottom.
Reinforced bottom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Reinforced bottom. Yeah, they, there's, like, hemorrhoid queen included in the purchase.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a buy one, get one. Okay. Oh, also, big one. Cancel your Netflix subscription because U of T has, like, Criterion. We have a bunch of things, right? We have, like, Criterion.
Oh, yeah.
Channel.
Take advantage of those underutilized
resources,
free things.
Which is such, like, you know, you've definitely heard this over and over again, but, like, it's actually good because you can actually see movies. Thank God. Like, I don't want to pay for Netflix. Respectfully. I should feel like I should have
it. Of course.
Yeah, respectfully. You got to be nice about it or, like, kind about it or, like, understanding how much you could take about it. And then Criterion Channel, Canopy sometimes. Really rare. Really depends. What else is there?
Oh, I tried Canopy. Yeah,
it's pretty educational.
I just found out about
it. It's pretty educational. Yeah, isn't it? You can watch if you want to see like a bad action movie that came out 2 years ago. Criterion Channel almost certainly has it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's so many movies I haven't thought about. Detective Pikachu.
Well,
solid.
Before we get on the topic of Top Gun, I think I'm going to wrap it up.
Stop. Okay, I wasn't even bringing it to Top Gun.
Thank you so much.
Cut me some slack. No, of course.
For your advice, your words of wisdom. And
I don't know if any of that
your
was
your call-outs.
What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. Good luck. You're probably doing better than you think you are. That's about it, yeah.
That's great.